On today's lesson, Canada's complicated bilingualism. Hi there, everyone. I'm Jeff, and this is Plain English, where we help you upgrade your English with stories about current events and trending topics. Now, rarely is English itself the topic, but today is the exception. We'll be talking about how English and French live side by side in Canada. And then on Thursday, we'll talk about how some changes in Quebec are making English speakers there a little nervous. In every plain English lesson, we also show you how to use a common English expression. Today, that one is in a pinch, which is a really good one to know. This is lesson number 674, so if you're looking for the transcripts, the quiz, the exercises, then you can find all of that at plainenglish.com/674. That is all thanks to JR, the producer. I think we're ready. Let's dive in. If you stroll into a bagel shop or poutine restaurant in Montreal, you're likely to hear a uniquely Québécois greeting, Bonjour, hi. The shopkeeper is greeting you in both English and French at the same time and inviting you to respond in the language that you prefer. It's no accident that bonjour comes first in this bilingual greeting, but it makes everyone feel comfortable. Canada is officially bilingual. English is the most dominant language, but French is the official language of the province of Quebec in the east. At the federal or national level, Canada offers government services and education in both English and French equally. This is protected in the Constitution. Private businesses are often required to serve customers in both languages. Food labels, for example, are in both French and English. Signs on federal highways and in airports are in both languages. So, how many people speak English and how many people speak French in Canada? Let's start with native language, the language a person learned first as a child. Canada has about 39 million residents. Of them, about 57% are native English speakers. About 20% are native French speakers, and the rest, 23%, were raised in another language. But as anyone in this audience knows, a person's native language is only one part of the story. Many Canadians speak both English and French. 18% of Canadians consider themselves fully bilingual in English and French. But also, as this audience knows, there are degrees of language dominance. Many English speakers know some French, and vice versa, even if they don't consider themselves bilingual. French is taught as a second language in English-speaking schools in Canada, so most English speakers have had at least some exposure to French. Especially in the East, many families have native French and native English speakers in both sides of the family tree. About 12% of married couples in Canada are comprised of two partners with different native languages. And many couples with both French and English heritage purposely raise their children to speak both, no matter where they currently live. Still, there are some language-related tensions. Remember the 18% of Canadians that are bilingual? This masks a big inequality in who, exactly, are the bilingual ones. You see, it's the native French speakers who are more likely to have learned English than the other way around. A lot more likely. And remember how the Canadian government provides services in both French and English? Well, the English speakers are more likely to think the government does a good job at providing service in both languages than the French speakers are. And fewer than half of the native English speakers even think it's important to have two languages in Canada. What's more, although the number of French speakers has grown over the years, the proportion of French speakers to English speakers has been declining since the 1970s. So you can see why native French speakers can sometimes feel defensive about their language. Language is a connection to culture, history, and family, and they don't want to lose that. They fear young people are more interested in English, and they fear that the strength of the French language will fade if they don't protect it. And so Québécois defend their French heritage in laws at the province level. Quebec is the only Canadian province with just one official language. In general, and there are a lot of specifics, but in general, this means that businesses and customers, government and citizens, can use the language they agree to use. But French must always be an option. For example, any business with 5 or more employees must be able to serve a customer in French if the customer wants to speak in French. Anything written on a product or package must be in French. It can be in English too, but it must be printed in French. If you publish a website for a business in Quebec, the site must have a French translation, and the quality of the French translation has to be at least as good as the English translation is. If a customer comments on a social media post in French, the business must reply in French. Public signs can have writing in any language, but one of the languages has to be French, and the French words have to be bigger and clearer than the words in any other language. This is all the law, and businesses can be fined for not complying. Of course, English speakers can get by. A lot of people live in Quebec and don't speak French. either they are Anglophones from other parts of Canada or immigrants from other parts of the world. For the most part, this is not a problem since so many people in Quebec are bilingual. Many people who work in customer-facing roles, especially in Montreal, speak both English and French fluently. Many doctors and nurses speak both. There is rarely not an English speaker available to translate in a pinch. Many people are happy to translate when needed. Some Anglophones do feel discriminated against. They say that people often refuse to speak to them in English, even when they can. But for the most part, they get by just fine. But recently, the government of Quebec has adopted new policies that aim to preserve the dominance of French in the province. And some Anglophones say they're starting to feel uncomfortable in their own country. We'll talk about that in the next lesson. This is all not to mention the many other languages that are represented in Canada. Mandarin, Spanish, Punjabi, and Arabic are the most commonly spoken languages at home after French and English. South Asian languages are commonly spoken and growing quickly. There are a lot of indigenous languages too, so it's not just French and English. Anyway, remember, on Thursday, we'll pick this topic back up and talk about recent policy changes in Quebec that are making Anglophones nervous. I've got an informal expression for you today, in a pinch. If you're in a pinch, you're in a difficult or awkward situation. If you're in a pinch, you usually need a quick solution. Sometimes that requires creative thinking. But the important thing is, you're not in a crisis. Nobody is in grave danger. To be in a pinch is to have a minor problem that needs a quick solution. Imagine that you're an English speaker in the province of Quebec. You're not in Montreal. Instead, you're in one of the smaller towns or villages in the province. You can typically get by with the little French that you know. You want to pay the bill at a restaurant with a credit card. The server starts talking to you in French, gesturing, but you don't understand. You start to get nervous. The server won't take your card. He's talking in French, fast, and expecting a response from you. He's starting to get impatient. You don't know what to do. You don't know what the person is saying. Yet clearly, you are expected to do or say something. You're in a pinch. You're in an uncomfortable situation. You've got a minor problem. You need a quick solution. Luckily, in Quebec, there's usually someone around who can translate in a pinch. Now, it would be awkward to always need a stranger's help. But if you're in a pinch, if you're in an unexpected or uncomfortable situation, someone can usually help you. In this case, maybe the stranger can translate and tell you the credit card machine is broken, so you have to pay in cash. What else can help in a pinch? A translation app might help in a pinch. Again, you can't ask everyone you see to talk into your translation app, but if you're in a pinch, that might be the best answer. If someone calls you and says, "I'm in a pinch," they're probably going to ask you for help. Let's say your neighbor calls. "I'm in a pinch," he says. He was supposed to pick up his kids from school at 3 o'clock, but a long meeting at work was delayed, and now he can't get there on time. He needs a quick solution. So he calls you. "I'm in a pinch," he says. "Can you get the kids at school this afternoon?" "I'm useless around the house. JR is good. I'm not. I can't fix anything. I can't install a ceiling fan. I can't replace a screen door. I can't even paint a wall without messing it up. I can, kind of, use 3M command strips. These are the hooks you just stick on the wall without drilling or nailing a hole. I say kind of because I can affix them to the wall, no problem, but there's no guarantee they'll be straight. Anyway, I had to hang a few hooks last weekend and they were up high on the wall. A normal person would have a ladder or a step stool available, but we've already established that I'm not normal in this respect. It's not recommended to stand on a swivel office chair if you need to get up high, but it can work in a pinch. It can work if that's the only thing you have available. And that was the only thing I had available. You would never plan to hang a hook high on the wall by standing on a swivel chair. That would be madness. But if you're in a pinch, if you need to hang a high hook and the only way to get up there is to stand on a swiveling chair, well, that works in a pinch. I love a piping hot fresh cup of coffee in the morning. I grind the beans myself, and I slowly pour the hot water over the grinds. That's how we make coffee in the US, either in a coffee maker or manually. But this is not how they do it in most parts of the world. In most parts of the world, coffee is espresso plus something. A latte is espresso plus milk. An Americano is espresso plus hot water. An Americano looks similar to a filter coffee the way I like to drink it, but it's not the same. I don't like to drink Americanos, but here in Mexico, where I live, most coffee shops and cafes don't serve coffee the way I like it. So sometimes, especially if I'm not at home, if I'm not in the city, I won't be able to get coffee the way I like it. So you know what? I'll drink an Americano in a pinch. That means if I'm in a situation where I can't get coffee the way I want it, I need some kind of alternate solution. Because obviously I need something with caffeine. So if I'm in a pinch, I'll have an Americano. but I really do prefer the filter coffee the way I make it at home. I'll never forget when I went to London as a student. That was the first time I had left the country since I had started drinking coffee. And I realized that you can't just order a cup of coffee in Europe. You're going to have to specify what you want. And at that time, the only places in London that made coffee the American way were McDonald's and a few American restaurants. The big coffee chains in London, Costa, Pret, Nero, they didn't make filter coffee then. Anyway, that's it for today. If you want to practice using In a Pinch, find the tab called Your Turn on the transcript page. Write your example, and I'll send you personal feedback on what you write. It's a great way to make sure you're understanding what you're learning. PlainEnglish.com/674 is where you'll find the transcripts for today's lesson. Thank you, JR, for that. We'll be back on Thursday. See you then. You've reached the end of the audio lesson, but there's a lot more to the Plain English experience on the website PlainEnglish.com. A lot of PlainEnglish.com is free, but the best tools to help you upgrade your English are part of the Starter and Plus memberships. And if you've ever been curious about what those look like, well, I have good news for you. We've unlocked some free sample lessons that let you try out the Starter and Plus features for yourself. There are two easy ways to find the free samples. First, at plainenglish.com, there's a new link at the top of the page that says Free Samples. I've also put a link in the show notes for this episode. In the sample lessons, you can do the exercises, listen to the fast audio, take one of our toolkit workshops, practice your writing, and more. So try it out today. Click the link in the show notes of this episode or find the link that says Free Samples at the top of plainenglish.com.